Welcome to H1. Are we on? I think we are. We want to look at a topic again in the book of Colossians, and if you would turn your Bibles to that and follow along in that, there'd be just several points that we want to really address in this short passage. Can anybody tell me what the similarities are of the last three sermons that were preached here at Shiloh? There's one thing that... There's several things that there were, but there's one thing I'm looking for. They were all questions. I shared a message that said, "What are you doing?" Brother Kevin shared a message, "What's your name?" And this morning, I'm going to share a message, and who are you following? Paul was writing this book, and I would have been thinking that Paul would have actually been at this church, but there's some doubt that he might have actually not ever even been at the church in Colossae because of what he's saying in some of these, in this first part of chapter 2. But what he is doing is, even if he wasn't there, he was expressing a deep felt love for his children, as it were. Those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have turned from following the works of the law, and those that had all these rules and regiments and commands that they had to follow, to the freedom in Christ, to where we have that power to do what we know is right to do because of Christ living in and through us. So Paul shared very much about how deeply he cared for those, his children. And then the question would come, well, why was Paul doing all this? Why was he saying what he was saying? And I want to read in verse number 4 to give you the answer as to why this whole passage, I feel, is even written. One of the main things as to why this passage was written. And that's found in verse number 4 in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. He says this, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." Evidently, they were having problems back then that we're having today. Evidently, there was the same thing going on, that there must have been people back then just like there is people today. And that is that you have to be careful and be watching, or someone is going to be out there to deceive you. What happens when you're deceived? Does anybody want to say, I mean, give me just a brief definition of what it is to be deceived? Right. And you believe it. The reason you're deceived is because you think it's fact and it's fiction. And that's what was happening here. There was these people that were saying all these crazy things and they were not true. Well, let's read in Colossians chapter 2. I want to read the first 10 verses. He says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality. Notice, as we go through this morning, what he is saying about who Jesus is. Keep that in your mind, of who Jesus is, as we track that down through verse 10. I want to have somebody come up and read verse number 2. And I'm going to ask for a volunteer to volunteer somebody. I want somebody who is good with reading and punctuation. There are those who come to my mind when I ask for that, but I'm going to see if y'all have somebody in your mind. Who would you want to come up and read verse number 2? Dwight Troyer, you have been asked to come to the podium. Verse number 2. Watch what you're reading.
Watch what I'm reading.
This is not a test.
I got to read it first then. All right, chapter 2, verse 2, it says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ.
Thank you, Dwight. You may sit down. What do I have on my head, children? A hat. Okay, that's a good answer. What kind of a hat do I have on my head, children? Who? I heard somebody say it. An Amish hat. Very good answer. I wish I could say that my Amish mummy made this hat. I can't say that. What I can say is if you look at this hat, it is made with like many strands of straw that are that wide. Now, how wide does straw come in when you go get some straw? Does it come in strips that wide? It does not. I remember my mommy died when she was in her 70s, but I was 14. But I remember we'd go to Pennsylvania to visit her, and she would be sitting there on her chair just knitting away. And what she was doing is she was knitting these pieces of straw. And they were about, again, 5/8 or 3/4 inch wide. And she just, that's how she occupied her time. Whenever she was sitting there, she was knitting. And then she would let those things that she made, then they would go to the hat manufacturer. And then they would sew all those things together. Now, it says here, where Brother Dwight read, that you are to be encouraged, being knitted together. We're going to name each one of these pieces of straw, each one of your names this morning, okay? Your name is in each one of these pieces of straw. Lee, can you pick yourself out there? Can you find yourself? No. This hat is knitted together in such a way that Lee is kind of important in there, because it would sort of leave a hole if he wouldn't be, as it were, that piece of straw in there. But to just pick out Lee and to know that Lee is in this hat, we don't know. But he is in the whole mix with everyone else knitted together. And it says that we are to be, our hearts may be encouraged being knit together in love. So there's not a one of you this morning that does not want to be encouraged. There's not a one of you. Barbara shared how she was discouraged. Actually, if we could be just honest, she was, might have been, well, Junior, was she ticked? Maybe. We won't go there. That's for another counseling session. But we all love when we are encouraged. We all love when things go good. And that's kind of when I'm encouraged, is when things are going right. Well, here it says that our hearts may be encouraged being knit together in love. So that is telling us how your heart is to be encouraged is by being knit together in love. Now, again, Lee is in this hat somewhere. He doesn't even know where he's at in here. But somewhere Lee is in this hat. And in this hat, Lee is very transparent. He ain't got a whole lot to hide here because he's out in the open for everyone to see. How many times do you live your life to where it's none of your stinking business how I do this over here, or it's none of your business what I did over here, or it's none of your business how I'm conducting myself over in this area? We all tend to be that way at times. Maybe there's times that I'm actually doing something that I'm trying to hide. That I know, if you would know that about me, you would think less of me. And then there's other times it's just aggravating to think, like, why do you have to have your nose in my business? But if we think of ourselves as being someone who is totally transparent, that I have nothing to hide, my life is as an open book. Whether it's the good, the bad, or the ugly. Barbara shared, again, Barbara, sorry to use you for an example, but she shared a time that was just like, it wasn't a whole lot of fun going through that, and even to keep her attitude in check was not a lot of fun. She needed to adjust it, according to her. We won't ask Junior. But for us as believers, for us as the body of Christ, to live and work together and to function together, we have to be open to each other. We have to allow each other to, and others to speak into our lives. We have to allow each, others to say, you know what, I've noticed, been noticing this about you, this one certain area, and is everything okay? What's going on? And if you're not wanting to be open and transparent, you get this knee-jerk reaction like, well, and you might not even tell me that it's none of my business, but you'll go home thinking that I'm minding your business. The other side of it is if we can be that way, but then we also will find a hard time to living a life that is encouraged. We'll find a hard time living a life that as others look at us, that they'll say, wow, you've got something that I want. You've got a life and you're living a life the way I would see life as being full. I am going to ask for someone else to come up now. And Isaiah, I want you to come up and read. I won't embarrass you. Do you have the New King James Bible? If you don't, yeah? Okay. I want you to read in verse number 2, the same verse that Dwight read. And I want you to start reading right there. And read, just read verse 2. Okay, Isaiah is going to explain to you what the knowledge of the mystery of Christ really means. Can you tell me right now? Okay, sit down. Isaiah, thank you. Isaiah responded correctly. he responded the way I was hoping he would. I did not tell him beforehand what I was going to do. It says, the knowledge of the mystery of God. Who can understand the mystery of God? There is no one here, there is no one that is the smartest man on earth that can understand the knowledge of the mystery of God. In our instruction class, we talked about faith and living a life by faith in doing what we know is right things to do. Dwight read verse 2, and he was very in tune to the commas in that verse. And so I'm bringing your attention to it. Now watch. Verse 2 says, that their hearts may be encouraged, comma, being knit together in love, comma, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, comma, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, comma, both of the Father and of Christ. So it says, be encouraged, comma, being knit together in love, comma, and it means you're encouraged and you're knit together and you're attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Can you comprehend that? I can't. But watch, I'm going to change just a couple little words just in that little phrase there. Attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding of the mystery of God. If you take what I just now read, if it would actually read like that, that would mean that I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can understand everything about God. I'm not going to tell you that, but what I will tell you is that anybody that would tell you that is a false teacher. Anyone that could tell you that you can understand all of the mystery of who God is, that person we would call a liar. It would also, if that would be true, that we could understand that, that would also make me God. And I'm not, and you're not either, and you're not either. So he says, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. So attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. And what I read in that is, it's like, I have the full assurance that God is in control. I have full assurance that God has this mystery about Him that we will never understand while we're here on this earth. But I have the full assurance that He is God, and have the full assurance that He will complete and He will carry out those things that He said that He will do. He will not lie. He will never let us down. He will never deceive us. But that we can fully trust in the understanding that God is God. Full assurance of understanding, not full understanding. We will never come close even to understanding everything about who God is, because we are not God. Okay? I want to turn in 1 Kings and just read some verses. You can turn there if you'd like. You don't have to. But in 1 Kings, I was reading that this week, and the story of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 5, or 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says here where the Lord actually spoke to Solomon in a dream. It says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said. If we believe God's word to be true, then God spoke to Solomon here, and He spoke to him in a dream, and I fully believe it's true. God said, ask, what shall I give to you? Drop down to verse 9. Solomon's response was, therefore, give to your servant, or give to me, an understanding heart to judge between your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 12. God's talking again. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. How would you like if God would tell you that? That, I don't even know if you could comprehend that. To have the God of the universe to speak to you in that way, that there was no one ever like you before you that's as great as you, and there will never be anyone that's as wise ever after you. But that's what God told Solomon. Verse 13, he says, and I also given you what you have not asked. Now don't think of this as a health and wealth passage that you're going to go get this right and then this will happen. But God said that I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be anyone like you among the kings in all your days. So God blessed Solomon. He granted Solomon way more than Solomon even asked. But he could see, and we talked this morning in the instruction class, of God being able to see in our heart. I can say anything I want to you, and I can impress you with my words. But God is not impressed with my words. He's impressed with what my heart's like. And God knew Solomon's heart. So drop down to verse 14. God says, so, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God made quite a few promises to Solomon. I don't know what all was going through Solomon's mind when he would have heard God saying that to him. We have the privilege of looking back on it and seeing this is what God said, and he did it. We know, history tells us that God did that. Okay, so still in verse number 2. It talks about to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Who is he including in this passage when he talks about the knowledge of the mystery of God? Who else do you think that Paul is including? Watch. The end of that verse says, both of the Father and of Christ. He talks about the mystery of God, then he says, both of the Father and of Christ. He's talking about God, but he's also talking about Jesus. He's saying both God and Jesus. But it's not two, it's just one. But it's one of these passages, again, that I think it's like, how am I going to explain this? Because we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three entities, but they're one. You cannot separate God from who Jesus is. You can't separate Jesus from who God is. Both the Father and Christ, they are one. Maybe what we could say is both the Father and Christ, He is one. I don't know how to explain it. But we don't comprehend that. But we know that it's true. We know that Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ and God, they're the same. They have some different functions, but they're the same. Let's move on. Verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? If we can take and understand that we will never understand, if we can take and understand that this is God, this is me, God said thus, I will do this, and I will understand that in Him are hidden all the treasures, all the mystery, all the knowledge that I could possibly ever need is through God. Now, it goes to verse 4, and I already alluded to that. He's saying, here's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you, is that you be careful that nobody will fool you, that no one will deceive you. And the other week, remember I shared that each one of us, we have to be careful who you listen to. Young people, be careful of who you allow to influence your thought process. I told our instruction class the other week, it's okay even sometimes to walk away from somebody, even to the point of maybe you feel like you're being rude. When someone is trying, and usually these people, they will know when they're trying to indoctrinate you, they know when they're trying to get you to believe something that you have been taught that is not correct. And they're trying to paint it in such a way that it's pleasing, that it looks good, that it sounds promising. Walk away before you allow things to go in your mind that you hear and you cannot go back and unhear it. Because your mind is like a sponge. He says, be aware. Well, verse 5, I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul loved to hear stories about these new believers in these churches that he wasn't at and he wasn't even able to get there. He loved to hear what was going on and the good things that were happening because of their life in Christ, because of what they have allowed Jesus Christ to come in and to move through their life. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, lives in Ohio. They go to Gospel Haven Church. A month or so ago, we were at a funeral, at a viewing at the Cold Springs Church. There was someone there. There was a couple there after we went through the line and we got to talking to them, find out where they were. They go to Gospel Haven Church. We're like, what's the next question? Do you know Sherry? They're like, yeah, we know Sherry. Oh, we love Sherry. Sherry, she does the piano, the keyboard for during our praise and worship, and she is such a blessing. You know what? They were not going to bore me to tears as long as they were talking about my daughter. I loved hearing what they were saying about my daughter. I just wanted to stand there and like, well, I'm not sure I'm going to read it, but keep talking. You know, we were going to get some supper, but no, we're okay. We'll keep talking. We want to hear about our children. There's not a one of you, I don't think, that would deny that. Paul here was talking about his children. He loved to hear good things. He loved to hear what was happening with his children. Verse 6. So now he's talking to these new believers. He says, as you have received Christ, walk in it. And I think what he's saying is, as you have received Christ, as you have taken on this new identity, you have taken on the Spirit of Christ within you, walk in it. And I think as I would think of it, it's like, now that you've made this commitment of who you're going to be and how you're going to live, then live it. Don't bring reproach on the name of Jesus Christ by the way you live, by saying you're one thing and you're acting out your life, living a different way. Walk in Christ. And it's easy on a Sunday morning to say the right things. It's easy to get up and preach. It's easy to get up and have devotions. It's easy to get up and lead singing. It's easy to teach a Sunday school class. It's easy to do any of these things for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. And maybe you can fool some of the people, or maybe most of the people. But where the rubber meets the road is when I'm out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And those around see how I conduct myself. Doesn't mean I have to be perfect, because the chicken rice soup is going to burn sometimes. It means we're human. But we live in such a way that we live rejoicing even when things don't go right. We live in such a way that our lives are exemplifying who Jesus Christ is. I'm always amazed how God moves and works. Brother Jay shared this morning about the wise man and the foolish man. Well, verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And I was thinking of being rooted. That's what the foolish man that was building on the sand, he'd have been okay building on the sand if he'd have got a deep enough foundation, because there's lots of foolish people that build houses out on the oceanfront. But they have to go deep to get a strong footing. But I look at this being rooted and grounded. How does he say it? Rooted and built up. The one thing with the foundation, when you get the permit for a house, they will tell you the foundation has to be this deep, it has to be this thick. You cannot at a later point decide if it was designed for a one-story house. And Dwight could maybe allude more to this if we'd ask him. I know he could. But if we put in the foundation for a one-story building, we do not have the freedom to continue building on top of that single story and keep going up without having made prior preparations for that in the future. But for us as God's people, we have that privilege. We can do that. We can, when we get saved, when we allow Christ to come into our lives, we'll develop roots. But my roots are really shallow. And sometimes we're so excited, we want to serve the Lord, and we go out and we want to do these things, and we neglect His Word. We neglect digging in and allowing His Word to penetrate our lives and allowing it to keep going down. Because I think as a tree would grow up, it also grows down. There is a whole network of roots underneath. You do not see a tall oak tree that is just has a very, you know, that deep of a root system. It's not going to happen. But as a tree goes up, it also burrows down into the ground in order to create stability. We have to have that to be rooted and grounded in Christ. We need to go out. We need to live our lives, but we need to be in His Word, and we need to find out what He wants us to do today and what He wants us to do tomorrow. We need that stability. And then the last part of that, it says, and abounding with thanksgiving. Well, you know what? First Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you notice there, again, instead of being a three-letter word, there is a two-letter word in that passage. It says, in everything give thanks. It does not say, for everything give thanks. Because I'm telling you, if you're one person who can take and thank God for every bad thing that has come in your life, you're a pretty strong person. I think what he's telling us, that in spite of things not going the way that I had planned, in spite of life just really being a pain right now, in spite of everything going against me right now, I have made a decision way back then that I'm still going to be thankful no matter what. No matter what my circumstances, I'm going to be a thankful person. Am I always going to get it right? Probably not. But we need to make that decision that in everything, in every situation, wherever I'm at, I will be a thankful person. And when I fail in that to being a thankful person, that I will turn and I will repent and I'll say, God, I'm going to do better next time. Verse 8. He goes and tells us basically the same thing he told us in verse 4. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He says, don't be cheated through philosophy, which would be just empty talk maybe about ideas, maybe even empty talk about ideas that don't even work. And maybe there are ideas even that might work. But there are ideas and things that people come at you with, and to where it's like, oh wow, they must really know something, and so therefore I must listen. But you hear them talk, and maybe they're even non-connected thoughts that they're presenting to you. But it sounds so intelligent. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, just through things maybe that you don't even understand, and empty deceit. According to the traditions of man. And that could be someone coming to you and say, you know what? God doesn't want you to be sick. You know what? God wants you to be rich. You know what? God wants you to have a jet airplane. That's vain deceit. Maybe God will provide you with a jet airplane. Maybe He will make that you're not going to be sick. But in this world, we will have trouble. But He said, I will give you my peace even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of hard times. But He is not saying that your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be pain-free and that your life is going to be peaches and cream. There are times that we will face horrible things. There are times that we don't know which way to turn. But God is still God, and God is still on the throne, and He will still be God even in eternity, even to the end of my life. And He might bless me in some arenas, but He might also take things away from me in other arenas. But He's God, and He can do that because He's God. Anytime that you would have someone come to you and they would try to teach you or indoctrinate you, and if you cannot go to clear scripture teaching that it's in there, or if it's questionable that it's refuting what scripture actually says, walk, brothers and sisters, walk. Go away from it. You don't have to listen to that. In Galatians 1 verse 8, Paul said that if we or even an angel from heaven preach another gospel than what we have preached to you, let that person be accursed. He said even if an angel from heaven, you know that it's an angel from heaven coming down, and that angel from heaven is telling you something that is not in here or that goes against what is in this word, says, let that person be accursed. And then in verse 9, he says it again. It's like, I don't think he was having dementia. I think what he was trying to do is, do you understand? Anyone that would come to you and anyone that would tell you something different and contrary to the Word of God, it says, let that person be damned. That's what God's Word says. What I'm saying to you, brothers, is we don't have to listen to everyone that has an idea of what Scripture says and what Scripture they think Scripture says opposed to what you've been taught that it says and that you know that it says. It's okay to stick with God's Word. It is imperative, brothers and sisters, that we stick with God's Word and we don't err from that. Then in verse 9, Paul says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 8, he had talked about not according to Christ there at the very end. And then verse 9, he talks about who this Lord Jesus Christ is. He is God. He is, I think I can feel the frustration again in, to try to explain that Jesus is God. God is one with Jesus there too, but they're one. And he's wanting to make sure that you understand it, that you will not get confused or troubled when someone comes and tries to tell you who Jesus is, and that Jesus wants you also to be like he was, and that you can also be a God just like Jesus is. You cannot, brothers and sisters. It will not work. That is false teaching. We will never become gods. We will never become little gods. God said there is one God. That is God. And Jesus Christ with Him, they are one. And the Holy Spirit together, they are one. Verse 10. He's like, I hope you've understood what I'm saying. But I think in verse 10 he goes and says, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, you are complete in Him. In Him who? In Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? Well, He's God. You're complete. That is enough. You're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. Because He says, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Again, you don't need someone that has a special revelation that goes against what Scripture says, because if it does, if it is, it's wrong. It is false teaching. There will not be any revelation that will come that is apart from what God's Word says. It will never contradict His Word. Anything that someone will tell you that is a revelation of God will never, ever contradict His Word. And I had to wonder, you know, as we went through starting in Colossians and as we went through the Philippians and even Ephesians, he constantly is talking at different areas like, you know, you'd think the people would get it. But he keeps talking about these people that come in and they try to deceive. But Paul is passionate about sticking to the course, staying the course, allowing Christ to work and to move in you, and don't be intimidated by those who come and have these special words of revelation. In closing, Paul wanted to be sure that this church at Colossae, that they knew who they were following. So the question comes up, who are you following? Are you sure you know who you're following? Do you know who you're following? Paul wanted his children to be sure. Paul would want each one of us to be sure that we know who we are following. And it will show by the way I live my life every day. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the way it speaks to us, for just these short passages that are so loaded with who you are and how you want us to live. I pray, God, that this morning we could go from here and we could have a deeper appreciation for your word and a deeper commitment to being true to your word, to a deeper commitment to honor the purity of your word and to live our lives in such a way that everyone we come in contact with would be able to look at us and shake their head and not understand how we can live our lives in such a way. And then we can tell them that it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ living and moving in and through me. God, would you help us as we continue to serve you? Help us to be strong in you each day of our lives. I pray, God, you would protect and care for each one of these dear people here this morning. As we leave from here, help us to honor you with our words, with our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.